I really like the traditional hymns, and one of the reasons I really like the traditional hymns is it seems like just about everybody knows them. But there's a danger when you sing one of those hymns. It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed. You just kind of rattle it off. You don't really think about what you're saying, what you're singing, why you're saying it, why you're singing it. You even gloss over some of those old ifs and thous and hithers and yons, and you don't really know what the word means, but you just kind of go along with it. So I thought it'd be neat to go and take a closer look at the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Some interesting facts. First of all, it was composed by Martin Luther in the year 1528. Now that's some lasting power. We've been singing this song for almost 500 years. I wonder how many of the songs that we're singing these days will be around a half a millennia from now. It's got staying power. It was originally written in German, but it's been translated into English over 70 different ways. There's 70 different English translations to this song. Kind of blows our mind, but you think about it, how many different translations of the Bible we have. And we lose sight of that at times until we consider the exercise we've been doing together as a congregation. We've been seeing the verses in several different variations. And it's the same theme, but it's a different take on it. You know, if you've got the Bible app for your iPod or whatever, you know there's like a gazillion verses or versions right at your fingertips. The version that we sing, however, was translated in English first in the year 1539. So again, it's been in English for a long time. But the version we sing was translated into what we sing now in the year 1853. So again, we're looking at a hymn in the format in terms of lyrics that we've just sung. It's been around for borderline 200 years. Again, that's some staying power. So let's take a closer look at the lyrics. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Most of us get fortress. Most of us get God. But what in the world is a bulwark? A bulwark actually had two types of major connotations. One was more of a naval connotation. It was set up as a protective wall against waves from floods. They didn't control the natural elements as well back in the 1500s as they did then. So a bulwark was something that would have been used to maybe contain a river that flooded quite often. It also had a military connotation. It was a berm or a hill of earth that would surround a castle or a fortress like a rampart. So an example of a bulwark from modern times, when they flooded, they let the dams go in Mississippi earlier. Several of the farmers in the affected area took matters into their own hands. So they created bulwarks. This is a bulwark. Which side do you want to be on when the floodwaters come? But it's a bulwark never failing. This is what it looks like when it works. This is what it looks like when it doesn't work. And notice here, there's just one small breach. Like 98% of that bulwark's intact. But the 2% that didn't work was enough to destroy everything that was on the inside. But our God is a bulwark that never fails. Our helper, he amid the flood, really poignant considering that last slide, of mortal ills prevailing. He's our helper in the middle of a flood of human troubles. We've all got troubles. We've all got things that we worried about. But God is prevailing. He is winning. And we lose sight of that. But we got to remember whose side we're on. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. Our old nemesis, Satan. He still wants to make life hard for us. That's his main desire right now. To make life as difficult for us as possible. To drive us as far away from God as possible. And he knows human nature pretty well. His power and craft are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Satan has a lot of power in this world. The Bible is very specific on that. He has a big bag of tricks. He's not afraid to use them. And he has more hate than anything on earth. You think about hate and the word hatred. You know, names like Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Muammar Gaddafi. A lot of hate in those guys. There's more hate in Satan's hangnail than there is in those guys put together. Nothing on earth is equal to the hatred of Satan and his hatred for us, both collectively as a body of believers and, frankly, each one of you as individuals. So did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Here, I think the phraseology seems a little awkward to us, and I think that's the translation. When you're translating it from German into English, you have to kind of rework things. But plainly stated, if we try to fight Satan in our own power, we're going to lose the fight. If you think you can go toe-to-toe with Lucifer by yourself, you're going to lose the fight. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. We'll lose the fight unless we have God's choice of champion fighting for us. Dost ask who that might be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Now, we've got some old words here. So let's take a look at some of those old words. Dost. It's an old English word of saying, do you. Sabaoth. I hear that, and I immediately think Sabbath. Because the spelling is similar, the pronunciation is similar. It's not the same. Sabaoth was a Hebrew term. It was a military term, meaning armies of great number of people or angels. In other words, this guy is the head of a huge army, ready to do battle with our ancient foe, Lord Sabaoth. And through this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The world is filled with devils. Lesser demons looking to tear us up. Demons of doubt, demons of second guessing, demons of pestilence, of disease, of sickness. We've seen that in our own fellowship. But we have no need to worry. For God has already decided His truth will triumph. And the beautiful thing here, His truth will triumph through us. Which means we have a role to play in the battle. God plans on using each and every single one of you in His design to overthrow Satan. Now, I've got another old word there, hath. It's not the ice planet that they went to in Empire Strikes Back. It's hoth. It's an old English way of saying has. Now, that word above all earthly powers, not thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Now we need to take another vocabulary break because we've got some old words here. A lot of is. Abideth. Old English way of saying abide, which literally translated and defined means to endure, to withstand, or sustain without yielding or submitting. Sideth. Old English way of saying you're going to be on that person's side or in their corner. Kindred. Your family, your folk, the folk you're from. So let's go back and look at that verse again. That word above all earthly powers, not thanks to them, abideth. The name of Jesus remains and is unyielding, regardless of what the earthly powers may try or do. They can rail, they can scream, they can holler, they can claw, scratch, kick, and do whatever against the name of Jesus. Those devils have no power or authority over Him. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sided. We have the Holy Spirit on our side. Not just the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit through God who's on our side. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. Leave your stuff, your family, even your physical life if you need to. This hymn was often referred to as the battle hymn of the Reformation. Martin Luther wrote this right at the height of his clash with the Catholic Church. And so he wasn't facing an external enemy, another governmental power or whatever. He was facing other Christians who were looking to destroy everything that he stood for. The body they may kill. People were losing their lives over this. The Catholics were not happy because of what the Protestants were bringing about. And before we get on the Catholic bashing wagon, the Catholics didn't have the corner on the market because the Protestants did just as much of it towards the Catholics. It's a very dark period in the history of the church where people's disagreements on what God had to say about things were so great that they were killing one another. They can take all that away from you. They can take your stuff. They can take your family. They can take your life. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Doesn't change the truth of God. Doesn't change the truth of God. It remains and is unchanging. His kingdom is forever. And the thing about this hymn, a lot of times with songs, just like in Scripture, we have these verses, and we tend to skip from one verse to the other to the next, and it's all compartmentalized. But this is a story. So, you know, looking back on this story, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Next verse picks it right up. If we in our own strength try to go against this power, we're going to lose if it were not for Jesus. And Jesus is coming to our side. But the devils don't like it. They're trying to undo us. But God's still going to triumph through us. The word through all earthly powers, not thanks to them, abideth. God's with us. And it doesn't matter what we lose in this realm, God's truth is still the same. So what I'd like for us to do is go back to the beginning and let's sing this one more time. And my prayer is, my hope was, that in going through this, this song becomes a little bit more real to you. And these just aren't haths and dosts and hithers and yons and bulwarks that we're singing about, but something that's a little more personal, a little more real. So let's stand.
Thanks to them abide.
Father God, we thank you that your kingdom is forever. We thank you, Lord, that we have a role to play in your story. God, and we will win the battle because we are on your side, Father, Lord. We thank you that you are a fortress that will never fail us, that will never be breached, that will never be broken down. And Lord, we know that this life still has troubles left in front of us. But we thank you that you will be victorious in the end and you will reign in glory. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to be partners with you in that.